The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, last night's Thursday night football game was, I'd say, mostly a snooze fest. It did actually come down to the wire, but Jesus Christ, man. Gotta say, the Arizona Cardinals look like trash. They are awful on the offensive side of the ball, and honestly, I don't know what the hell they were doing for the majority of the night, but they looked like shit up until, like, their one drive where they actually tied the game up. But, of course, they lost it due to stupid boneheaded bullshit at the end. Setting up the Seahawks in great field position, and they were easily able to get within field goal range and walk it off and get the win 23-20 over the Arizona Cardinals. Sam Darnold had a very efficient night, went 18 for 26, 242 yards and a touchdown. But man, it was all about that Seattle Seahawks defense last night. They forced two interceptions, had six sacks, and it was just, they were all over Kyler Murray all night. He had like no time to do anything. He's like, he only had two interceptions. He probably could have had like six. That's just kind of how it went. But I mean, it was a very bad night for the Arizona Cardinals. I mean, even though it was a close game in the end, they did not play that well. And I kind of feel like they're going to have a long ass season in Arizona. Moving on to the rest of the week four, and also my head-to-head matchup with the homie Simon Ruvalcaba. Last week, I went 11-5, bringing my season total up to 32-16. He went 12-4, bringing his total up to 34-14. And so he is up two games on me right now. As a matter of fact, now he's up three games on me because he had Seattle last night and I had Arizona. So I'm starting off the week 0-1. He's starting off 1-0. So there we go. So let's get right into week four and the rest of the weekend. Beginning with, we have our first international matchup. For the first time ever, the NFL is now in Dublin, Ireland. And our first matchup we get there is the Minnesota Vikings versus the Pittsburgh Steelers. Right now, the Vikings are a 1.5-point favorite. And the Vikings, they're coming in with Carson Wentz still as their starter. I've been reading that they're potentially going to keep him as their starter for the rest of the season. So we'll see how that goes. I mean, Carson Wentz has pretty much just been mediocre basically since that one season where he went off when he was with the Eagles and he was in line to basically be the MVP. Then he got injured and they went on to win the Super Bowl without him as the starting quarterback. But really ever since then, he's pretty much just been mid-tier. So I don't really expect him to be this amazing quarterback. So don't be shocked if we see JJ McCarthy starting again at some point. But right now, it looks like they're going to ride with him, and it kind of feels like with Kevin O'Connell at this point, it doesn't matter who his quarterback is. He's able to just get them ready to play, and they play well enough to get them the wins, and right now, they've got the wins. Pittsburgh Steelers, on the other hand, they look pretty solid offensively through the passing game. It's really the ground attack that's an issue, and then their defense, the first two games, kind of shaky, but this last game, they looked really solid. But in this matchup, I kind of feel like the Vikings, this is going to be their wake-up call game. I don't think it's going to be an ass-kicking of any sorts, but I just kind of feel like the Pittsburgh Steelers defense is going to step it up in this one and kind of really show you the real Carson Wentz, in my opinion, in this one. And I feel like the Steelers offense will do just enough to get them the win, because I do think it's going to be a defensive battle because these are two solid defenses, especially the Minnesota Vikings. They are killers on the defensive side of the ball. I would call them the Purple People Eaters this year. That's what they are. Their defense is just insane. So I feel like this is going to be a defensive battle. I wouldn't be shocked that there's a couple of turnovers on each side of the ball. But I do have the Pittsburgh Steelers winning this one 24-20. Then we have the Washington Commanders at the Atlanta Falcons. Right now, the Commanders are a 2.5-point favorite. Jaden Daniels will not be playing at quarterback this week, but lucky for them, they're playing the shitty-ass Falcons. And I don't think it matters who they had at quarterback coming into this one. I feel like Marcus Mariota is going to do just fine because the Falcons are terrible. And I feel like Washington's going to roll in this one 28-10. Then we have the New Orleans Saints at the Buffalo Bills, and I'm laughing because the Buffalo Bills are a 16.5 point favorite. So that just goes to show you the difference in teams in this matchup is Buffalo is a powerhouse and New Orleans sucks. And not only is the margin huge, but my final score is huge as well. I have the Bills winning 41-0. That's how I think this game is going to go. I feel like it's just going to be, I wouldn't be shocked if Buffalo scores on every single offensive drive that they have on this day. So have fun, Saints fans. Have fun. Then we have the Cleveland Browns at the Detroit Lions. Right now, the Lions are an 8.5 point favorite. Cleveland, they did get a nice solid win over the Green Bay Packers, and I hope they enjoyed that because I don't think that's going to be the case this week. As a matter of fact, I feel like it's going to be Detroit is ready to roll. They got going in the last game, and I think they're going to keep it moving in this game. I think this is going to be a crazy game from them. I think they're going to blow out the Browns 38-13. Then we have the Tennessee Titans at the Houston Texans. Right now, the Texans are a 7.5 point favorite, and both of these teams need a win badly, but the Houston Texans need one more because nobody had any expectations for the Titans coming into the season. But the Texans should easily win this division, right? Well, no, they're 0-3, and they don't look good at all, especially on the offensive side of the ball. Defense, yeah, they look pretty stout. But if your offense can't score, you're going to have some issues. But lucky for them, the Titans are terrible, and they are the better team. But the Titans do actually have a pretty decent defense. So CJ Stroud has had a very long season already, and we're only in week 4. So don't be surprised if he has a long day once again. But I do have the Texans winning this one 21-7. Then we have the Carolina Panthers at the New England Patriots. Right now, the Patriots are a 4.5 point favorite. I think both of these teams are pretty equal. They're not that good, but they have the potential to really push you to the brink, especially the Panthers, in my opinion. I really just, like I keep saying about them, I think they're a very young, hungry team, so they're going to push every team that they play this season. And the Patriots are just not a very good team at all. They are obviously in rebuilding mode. But with that being said, I'm leaning more towards the Patriots in this one simply because they're at home. But I really actually wouldn't be shocked if the Panthers got the win. But I'm going New England because they're at home 20-17. Then we have the Los Angeles Chargers at the New York Giants. Right now, the Chargers are a 5.5 point favorite, and this is going to be Jackson Dart's first start with the New York Giants, and I don't think it matters because I feel like no matter who their quarterback was going to be, this was not going to be a fun game for them. The Chargers actually look legit. Justin Herbert, he is having a phenomenal season to start. Yes, it's only 3 weeks into the season, but whatever. He is just balling uncontrollably. And doesn't have a lot of weapons, but he's making the most of what he has. And then on the defensive side of the ball, they're taking care of business. So I don't think this is going to be a close one at all. As a matter of fact, I feel like this is going to be a welcome to the NFL moment for Jackson Dart. I have the Chargers winning 30-10. Then our afternoon games, we have the Indianapolis Colts at the Los Angeles Rams. Right now, the Rams are a 4.5 point favorite. And the Colts, they're undefeated and playing great football right now. But the Rams, they're playing good football as well. They barely lost this last game against the Eagles. Honestly, if they had just played slightly better football, they would have got the win easily. I mean, it wouldn't have even been a close game. It's just they had to settle for field goals a lot. And I feel like that's going to be different in this matchup. They're going to be at home. I think they're going to learn from their mistakes. I mean, Davante Adams is really starting to fit in with this offense, which is, I feel like, problems for the rest of the NFL because you got Davante. And you got Puka Nacua, and both of these guys are capable of going off and completely taking over a game. And both of them, they're great in the short game. They're great in just going deep. They're stout. They're strong. And then you look at Kyren Williams in the backfield, along with Blake Corum, who's really turned it on himself. I just kind of feel like the Rams are going to get it going. They've got a really strong and young and hungry defense as well, and I kind of feel like they're going to take the Indianapolis Colts to the mat. Now, with that being said, I don't think it's going to be a runaway. I do think it's going to be a close, solid game, but I have the Rams winning this one 24-21. Then we have the Jacksonville Jaguars at the San Francisco 49ers. Right now, the 49ers are a 3.5 point favorite. We don't know who's going to start at quarterback for the Niners. It's Brock Purdy. He did practice this week, but they also haven't said it if he's going to play or not. And Mac Jones, I'm not sold on this dude ever. I think Mac Jones is garbage. I've thought Mac Jones was garbage since the day he was drafted. I always thought he was overrated. But with that being said, to me, it doesn't really matter who starts at quarterback for the Niners. They've got a lot of injuries. And while the Jacksonville Jaguars, I don't think they're this amazingly impressive team, I look at them on the defensive side of the ball, and nobody's really talking about how well they're doing on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, they lead the league in turnovers right now. I mean, if you were to sit here and say, who leads the league in turnovers, I don't think any of us would say the Jacksonville Jaguars, and they are. And I kind of feel like that's how this game is going to go. I feel like the Jaguars' defense is going to suffocate the San Francisco 49ers' offense, and I think the Jacksonville Jaguars' offense is going to do enough on the offensive side of the ball to get some scores, whether they're just field goals or just anything, get any type of scoring to get ahead of the Niners. And I actually do have an upset in this one. I'm taking the Jacksonville Jaguars to upset the San Francisco 49ers 17-16. Then we have the Baltimore Ravens at the Kansas City Chiefs. Right now, the Ravens are a 2.5-point favorite, and the Ravens are coming off of a loss. And when the Ravens are coming off of a loss, they usually kick your motherfucking ass. And the Chiefs, they are not looking good at all this season. Offensively, they are living on Patrick Mahomes. They are basically just living on a prayer, hoping this dude is able to just create Mahomes magic on 3rd and 95. And usually, yeah, I mean, there's a good chance this dude's going to do something, but at some point, it's going to wear out for you. And I know they're waiting for all of their injured guys to make it back, and then all of a sudden, they're going to make their run, and I just don't think that's going to happen at all. As a matter of fact, to me, I feel like the Chiefs team is going to get worse as the season wears on, and especially when you go up against this Baltimore Ravens team. Even though the Ravens are 1-2, I don't care. I still think they're a solid team. I still think they're one of the best teams in the league. And I feel like they're going to walk right into Kansas City. And I don't think this is going to be a close one. I think they're pissed off about last week. And I think they're going to roll over the Kansas City Chiefs. I feel like the only reason why I gave the Chiefs 20 points in this one is because I feel like they're going to score some garbage points. But overall, I don't think this is going to be close at all. I've got the Ravens winning 35-20. Then we have the Chicago Bears at the Las Vegas Raiders. Right now, the Raiders are a 1.5-point favorite. The Bears were able to finally put something together offensively last week, but who knows if that's going to last. And, you know, I just don't really look at the Bears as a very good team. I just kind of felt like that was a fluky type of game they had last week. And the Raiders are not a very good team themselves, so I kind of feel like that's going to translate into a good game here, where it's probably going to come down to the very end. And I'm really just leaning towards the Raiders in this one, simply because they are at home and the Bears are coming off of a big win. It kind of feels like the Raiders are due for a win. So I've got the Raiders winning this one 21-14. Then our Sunday night football matchup is the Green Bay Packers at the Dallas Cowboys. Right now, the Cowboys are a 5.5-point favorite. Holy shit. I'm very shocked by that because, you know, the way the stupid-ass sports media plays this shit is they make it seem like we're all us Cowboys fans are just sitting around crying about Micah Parsons. And, I mean, if you've listened to me, I was never crying about Micah Parsons to begin with. Loved the dude as a Cowboy, but I did not believe he needed to be the highest-paid player in the league, or a defensive player in the league, just because he's never won Defensive Player of the Year, never led the league in sacks. And in my personal opinion, these three games, they wouldn't have been a different outcome had Micah Parsons been there. He's not the problem with the defense. The secondary is the problem with the Cowboys defense. But with that being said, it's just funny because this is supposed to be the Micah Parsons revenge game. And it's like, not really. That's just how it is. But whatever. To me, this is just Green Bay Packers against Dallas Cowboys. And with that being said, I always want to see my Cowboys kick their ass, especially because in recent history, we have not been able to beat this team in for fucking ever. I think the last 8 or 9 times the Cowboys and Packers have played, the Cowboys have been on the losing end. So I would really like to see them finally put something together. One thing that's good for the Cowboys this week is we finally get to see Bland and Diggs out there on the defensive side in the secondary. So finally, there will be some improvement in the secondary this week. So I think the Cowboys defense is not going to get as blown up as we've seen over these last couple of weeks, because we're going to finally have some help out there in the secondary. We do get Jadeveon Clowney is going to play in this game as well, so we're going to see a difference in the pass rush. But I just think it's going to be the Cowboys offense is going to hold it down. The defense is going to do just enough to get the win in this one. I don't think it's going to be a runaway in any way, shape, or form. I actually think these two teams, especially on the offensive side of the ball, I think they're both very capable of scoring a lot of points, but I think it's just going to be a hard-nosed, hard-fought battle. And I have the Cowboys winning this one, of course, because I always pick my Cowboys. But I just think it's, you know, everybody's all on the Packers, and they're all, Micah Parsons this, Micah Parsons that, and it's like nobody on the Cowboys is sitting around crying about Micah Parsons. They're actually ready to go out and play because nobody on the Cowboys really actually has any hard feelings towards Micah Parsons. They all know it's a business. So I don't think any of the Cowboys players view it as that. And I really don't think Micah Parsons views it as that either. Of course, he's going to want to show out, but he was going to want to do that anyways, regardless of how his situation went in the offseason. All right. So let's talk baseball playoffs because this is the last weekend of baseball. And we have most of the playoff spots are taken. Only one division remains up for grabs. Two spots in the American League wild card are up for grabs. And only one wild card spot is up for grabs in the National League. So let's talk about where we are. So the American League East is the one and only division still up for grabs. And that is between the Toronto Blue Jays and the New York Yankees. They are tied. Now, the Blue Jays own the tiebreaker, so technically if things were to end today, Toronto would have won the East. But they are tied, and we'll see how this shit goes this weekend, because if the Yankees are just able to keep it moving, and Toronto is on shaky grounds right now, we could see the Yankees take over this division. But I don't think it matters, because both of these teams have clinched a playoff spot, so whoever wins the East is the division winner, and then whoever comes in second, they will be in the wild card. So it doesn't matter who wins, they are both in. Now we have a winner in the American League West, and it is the Seattle Mariners. This team has been on a motherfucking tear right now, and I gotta say, you might want to watch out for this team, because this is the type of team coming into the playoffs, and I mean, they're playing legit good playoff baseball right now, and they've been doing it for you know, all season. They've either had the lead or been close to the lead for the West. And just Houston just completely collapsed as the season wore on. I mean, yes, their injuries were an issue, but even so, Seattle just made this huge push. I mean, they've won, I think, their last 17 out of their 18 games. So, I mean, they are playing winning baseball. Their starting pitching is fantastic right now. Their bullpen can't be beat. They're scoring runs. And then, of course, Cal Raleigh. He is having a historic season. He is at 60 home runs on the season. He is two home runs away from tying Aaron Judge for the most home runs in a season. So we could see him either A, tie Aaron Judge, or B, pass Aaron Judge. So the Mariners are just having a great season. And I kind of feel like, don't overlook this team. Now, just sitting here, because obviously I won't be doing my predictions until all the playoffs scenarios are set, but I'm probably not going to be picking the Mariners. Maybe I will, but I'm probably not going to be picking the Mariners to go or even win the World Series. So with that being said, I still think you got to look at the Mariners and you got to watch out for the Mariners, but they won their division handily. And now it looks like the Astros may not even make the playoffs. And then the American League Central. The lead now belongs to the Cleveland Guardians. They made the most furious, historic comeback ever. Nobody has come down or made a comeback like they have. I believe they were 17 games out of first place. I could be wrong on that. It might be a little bit less, but it was a lot. They were down by so much at one point. There was no way the Tigers were going to lose their grip on the Central, and guess what they did. And now the Cleveland Guardians have the lead. They haven't won the division just yet, but Detroit's not playing great right now, and Cleveland is. So don't be shocked if Cleveland walks away as the American League Central champion. And then the wild card spots right now are held down by the New York Yankees, the Boston Red Sox, and the Detroit Tigers, with the Houston Astros on the outside looking in. Then in the National League, all the division winners are set. The National League Central goes to the Milwaukee Brewers. National League East goes to the Philadelphia Phillies. And the National League West officially went to the Los Angeles Dodgers last night after their win. So those are the top three in the National League. So the wild card spots, the top two wild card spots are actually officially taken as well. We have the Chicago Cubs and the San Diego Padres both in. So the last wild card spot is the only thing left in the National League. Right now, the New York Mets hold that last wild card spot with the Cincinnati Reds and the Arizona Diamondbacks on the outside looking in. So National League's pretty much set. American League, it's basically its seeding is basically what it is with that. But it's going to be a very interesting weekend of baseball. It's going to be interesting to see how this turns out. And like I said, you got to look at teams like the Seattle Mariners. I mean, they're making a huge run. And then I look at teams like the Phillies. That was my World Series pick to start the season, and they are stout. They are deep, and they are playing excellent baseball. So you look at them, but you also got to look at the Yankees as well. They were just in the World Series last year, and they're playing great baseball. Other than their defensive woes, Fried pitched another beautiful gem last night. Aaron Judge is looking stronger than ever. The rest of that Yankees batting order is just killing it. And like I said, Rodon, another guy. This Yankees lineup is deep. So you got to watch out for them. And then it's like, you look at the Brewers. Are they going to do anything? And then it's the Dodgers. The Dodgers are another team. Now, I don't really, like I said, I haven't really thought about who I think is going to win the World Series at this point. But you can't count out the Dodgers. Even though they're not playing their best baseball, all they have to do is put together a nice run. All they have to do is win in the next round and just keep winning round after round and get into the World Series. And it's like they've got the depth at pitching. I mean, starting pitching, they've had their injury issues, but now this is probably the healthiest they've been. They basically have all their aces back. And when I say aces, I mean basically from top to bottom. 1 through 5 is pretty much an ace at this point. So look out for the Dodgers as well, because they're always capable of scoring a lot of runs. Betts, he's looking like the old Mookie Betts himself. So you look at the Dodgers and go, they might be back in the World Series as well. So there's a lot going on with baseball. There's a lot to be determined this weekend. But I can't wait to talk about it on Monday, because I love baseball playoffs. Baseball playoffs are so much fun to watch, in my opinion, because you just really never know what you're going to get. You could be watching a 0-0 game, and all of a sudden in the ninth inning, just one crack of the bat and everything fucking changes. And it's just great. I love watching the baseball playoffs. So I'm looking forward to next week, because the wild card kicks off on Tuesday, which means I will be making my baseball playoff predictions on Monday's show. All right, y'all, enjoy the weekend of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Monday.